Please rise. Hear these words from the Gospel according to St. John. These are from the 19th chapter. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. This is the Gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In St. John's account of our Lord's passion after Jesus' death and pending burial, Nicodemus is identified in an unusual way. The man who had earlier visited Jesus at night. Of course, that happened in that great chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, John chapter 3. Going back to that earlier meeting, though, we learn who Nicodemus was. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. What follows in that John 3 text is a powerful exposition on being born from above by water and the Spirit, as well as an exposition of the love of God found in the sending and giving of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. For you all know John 3:16, don't you? Sure you do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But 17 is just as important. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and they were known for their morality. The Pharisees, who spent their lives observing every tradition of the scribal law, were a very self-righteous bunch. They had frequent encounters with Jesus, and they weren't pleasant ones, because they concerned themselves with the letter of the law, while Jesus knew the purpose of the law. And the purpose of the law is to show us our need for a Savior. Jesus healed the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, and he did it on the Sabbath. And for this reason, the Pharisees tried to kill him. It is amazing that Nicodemus, a Pharisee, would even desire to meet and to speak with Jesus. Nicodemus was a member of the Jewish ruling council called the Sanhedrin, made up of 70 members. This powerful group was the supreme court of all the Jews. It had religious jurisdiction over every Jew in the world. And one of its duties was to examine and to deal with anyone suspected of being a false prophet. And of course, that pointed right to Jesus. It was by night that Nicodemus came to Jesus, which was probably him just being cautious, being careful. Nicodemus, quite frankly, may not have wanted to commit himself by coming to Jesus in the daytime, especially. And that is quite understandable. I don't think we should condemn Nicodemus for being careful. It was a gracious miracle that he overcame his prejudices and his upbringing to come to Jesus at all. But there was something about this rabbi that got his attention, even as it was getting others' attention as well. Nicodemus was a puzzled man. He was a man with respectability, with position and power in society, and yet with something that he knew was still lacking in his life. On this point, I think many of us can relate to Nicodemus. There's one thing we can probably say about Nicodemus. He must have been a man of considerable means. In our text, when Jesus died, he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing about 75 pounds. Only a man of means could have brought that. And so that's what Nicodemus did. So from this passion personality, we are able to see that this story leads from doubt, puzzlement, to commitment, and to belief in the Son of God. So as we consider this personality from our Lord's Passion, we see first that there is tragedy, as there always is in our lives. Things that we've said or things that we failed to say, things that we've done or things that we failed to do, we didn't get something right, and we just wish we could go back and redo that. Nicodemus, being a member of the Sanhedrin, was there when they tried Jesus. It was an illegitimate trial in the first place. Maybe he wasn't informed of the meeting. Perhaps he spoke against the proceedings, and what he had to say was ignored by those who were with him. More than likely, he had either absented himself or remained silent through the process. You know, you've been there. You failed to speak up on behalf of someone else, and you had to seek that person out later and apologize because you weren't there to support them. It seems that Nicodemus's faith on that Thursday night was not what it would be on that Friday afternoon. Not that he could have changed anything, nor would we have wanted him to. If you think about it, it had to happen. It had to happen for you and for me. The tragedy is that on this night of ill fame, uncertainty silenced the voice of a witness that could have said, "Truly, truly, this is the Son of God." The tragedy of that silence is understandable, or at least it's explainable. We are often silent when we are uncertain in our belief, or if we think someone else might be offended by our confession of what we believe. You see, that was Nicodemus's problem, wasn't it? He was uncertain in belief because he was uncertain about who this rabbi was, who this Jesus was. What makes us, what makes you uncertain? We believe, don't we? We want eternal life and all that God promises. But to accept that God came into the flesh as an ordinary human being is simply too incredible sometimes for people to get their hands around and believe. Nicodemus was also inclined to believe. He was curious. He was curious about the person of Jesus, but he was still uncertain. We see this tension in that first meeting by night. Nicodemus said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Well, take the next step, Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." What does that mean? He asked further, "Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And then Jesus delivered the eye-opener. "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." The eternal Son of God gives power to become children of God to all who believe in his name. But what is believing? Believing is more than seeing signs and miracles and being somehow drawn to him who performs them. So Nicodemus knew about these things. Maybe he was an eyewitness of some of his miracles. The word was out. They knew it. Jesus knows the heart, and he knows that the stance of a sympathetic spectator is not faith at all. This curious head nod lacks the certainty of saving faith. "We know that you are a man who has come from God, but just who are you?" "There is something here, but I don't know what. I will just wait and see what comes of this," in other words. Nicodemus left the first meeting with Jesus without the certainty of faith. Later, when the temple guards failed to arrest Jesus, the Pharisees shout, "Has any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him?" Well, no. Well, maybe. Nicodemus does not speak out for Jesus. He only says, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? At least he said that much. As he feared, they ridiculed him by asking him if he was from Galilee too. Are you one of those Galileans? Yet he is a curious and fair spectator, but not the certain believer who says, truly, this is the Son of God. Believing is more than a good man's sincere religious interest in Jesus as a teacher who has come from God. Because there have been all sorts of teachers who say they've come from God, but that's questionable. It is more than merely accepting the facts about Jesus, where he was born, where he lived, who his parents were. Jesus replied to Nicodemus when he came at night, makes that clear. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me see if I can explain, using this illustration, the difference between believing Jesus is a good man from God and saving faith. Most of us probably have known someone who is a real risk taker. I can't believe I wrote that that way again. Who always tries to do something different, something new. You might even call him a daredevil. Now, let's suppose that he boasts, this Saturday at 2 in the afternoon, I'm going to stretch a tightrope across Niagara Falls, and I'm going to push a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. Well, the kind of faith Nicodemus had says, well, I know this fellow, and I believe he can do it. I really think he's crazy enough to make it. But the certainty of saving faith is to get in that wheelbarrow and let your friend push you across. Because now he better make it, or you're going to have a long fall into some very cold water. That's the difference. One says God is able. Maybe he can do great things. But the question is, does God do what he has promised? And in particular, has he kept his promises for you? Has he kept his promises for you? That is the certainty of saving faith. It says, I will ride in that wheelbarrow. Faith is dependence on God for all of our life. When we say, I believe, our whole trust, our whole confidence and our whole life depend on God being what he promises us, particularly giving us eternal life. Faith will never be solid if it stands back and asks with Nicodemus, how can this be? Not what does this mean, but how can this be? That is a question of the flesh. The old nature locked into the physical world. The spirit is another dimension beyond the questions of the flesh. We can find an analogy for the mystery of the spirit's working in the ways of God's creation. Jesus used it. We find that in the wind, whose sound we hear and whose reality we even feel without being able to explain its coming or its going. We can find a record of the reality of the works of the Holy Spirit in Holy Scripture. The Spirit comes to us in God's Word spoken by the prophets and confirmed by the miraculous signs that are written in God's Word. It is those miraculous signs that Nicodemus saw Jesus perform. And those signs are attested to by the evangelist and the apostles. Those signs were done so that Nicodemus and all of us could believe the greater miracle that Jesus of Nazareth is truly the Son of God. The Spirit works this faith so that you and I, like Nicodemus, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing, we may have life in his name. Faith believes that plain water, included in God's command and combined with God's word, is a gracious washing of regeneration and an adoption as children of God known as the sacrament of holy baptism. Faith says, Amen. Faith boldly sings a hymn verse in our hymnal about the sacrament of the altar, which says, Ask not how this takes place, this wondrous mystery. God can accomplish vastly more than what we think could be. Faith for Nicodemus was accomplished by the same Spirit who works faith in our hearts, but through different means. Nicodemus encountered Jesus in the flesh, heard him speak in his ears. He saw and he heard and he ultimately believed. We encounter Jesus through word and sacrament, and we too are given to believe, just like Nicodemus, that Jesus is truly the very Son of God. Amen. May this peace of God, which transcends our human understanding, may guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith, in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting.